Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's 6:23 here on this Monday morning. Hopefully you guys are enjoying the ride in. We're all in studio. As you probably remember, if you listened on Friday, Squidbilly was working the grill, working the Traeger?
Yeah, I pulled the Traeger out.
Yeah.
I just hadn't used it in a while, and I just really – I love my barrel smoker, but I just
– A little too much.
I don't know. I just said, I'm just going to use Traeger. Yeah.
How long was the nap after you made that feast on Friday?
The meat coma.
It was a good hour.
Oh, boy.
Because I did some eggs and some biscuits.
Yeah.
Did some scrambled cheese eggs. Yeah.
How did it all turn out, man? If you had to rate it on a scale of 1 to amazing.
Well, my meat's always amazing, Dylan. So,
there's just no way you actually believe yourself when you say that. Was it your best work, or was it, I'd make changes?
No, I always go back and think of what I would do differently. But it was pretty good for my first time doing pork steak that way.
Right.
So yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Allie, what's your favorite food?
What's my favorite food?
Tofu.
French fries. French fries. I love French fries so much.
Such a goated answer.
French fries.
Wait.
I just curious. Like, I'm sitting there. My stomach starts growling. And then I thought, I wonder what, like, when you're like, oh, I'm about to tear this up. Like, what's the meal?
But you got
to
like one fry better than the other. Is it like a crinkle fry or a shoestring fry? Or a steak fry?
No, the seasoned curly fries. The ones that have like Old Bay on them. Like, yeah. They're so good.
So you probably love curly fries too, don't you?
Love curly fries. I am the one keeping Arby's in business. Like, I always go and get the curly fries from Arby's.
You can buy those frozen, by the way.
Oh, I know.
Ding.
Put them in the air fryer.
Yes. And so good.
And then you can buy the Arby's sauce in the same Kroger. Which I do.
The excitement on your face right now.
I love Kroger.
Like,
I love Arby's.
You just lit up like a Christmas tree. He was like, guess what? I got you.
It's a real thing, and a lot of people don't know.
Is it Five Guys that does the Cajun fries? I'm trying to remember. Ooh. Like, there's somebody that, Five Guys does a loaded bag of fries, but I think they have a Cajun style, if I'm not mistaken.
I think Checkers have the Cajun style too?
Checkers, no, I don't think Checkers is Cajun. Theirs are more like, to me, theirs are a lot like the curly fries, but they're straight.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think you're right on that.
You know who does it really well? I don't know if you've ever had like Cheeseburger Bobby's, but they basically have like a seasoning bar.
You can
pick out your own.
And I love
the salt and vinegar seasoning or the jalapeno seasoning. Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
I think I know what Allie's next Top 5 Tuesday is.
You've never heard of Cheeseburger Bobby's, Dylan?
Absolutely not.
It is OTP, so.
Out of pocket right now.
I'm pretty sure there's got to be one somewhere OTP. Yeah, there's a lot of them. Do you go to Chick-fil-A just to get waffle fries?
I mean, if Grant's going to Chick-fil-A and we're going through the drive-thru, but I have never stopped through Chick-fil-A.
Is he one of those guys that's like, do you want anything? And you're like, no. And then he gets you fries anyways.
So sometimes he just knows to pull into a drive-thru if I'm getting a little hangry.
When you say solo stop, you mean since you've been a vegan?
Yeah. I'm not going to pull in just for fries. Well, I guess Arby's.
But you went before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I was just checking. I mean,
had Chick-fil-A.
All right, so that's so funny. I'm sure that's going to be her next Top 5 Tuesday, best fries, because that's an intense conversation to have. We do need to talk yesterday about the Atlanta Braves. Yesterday, just on a whim, probably, let's call it 11:30, right? The game was, I think, 1:35, first pitch. It was like 11:30, and my wife looks at me. She gets so, like, just like she loses her mind if we stay inside all weekend or don't leave the house.
Yeah.
She's like, we got to go somewhere. And I was like, well, look, kids never been to a Braves game. They play in 2 hours. I was like, we could just load up. I'm sure I can find some last minute tickets. I did. We found some for like $35 a piece,
mm-hmm.
including fees on the hub.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah, it was solid. So solid. And we were like right next to the camera well out in center field, like right next to the batter's eye, like on the rail. And we had barely even sat down and the bases are loaded. And I'm like, oh man, trying to get my son to pay attention. Dude, we're out in center field. He's like, I don't even know what's going on right now. He's 4. He's like, where's the pitcher at? I'm like, he's up there. Anyways. So all of a sudden Trevor Story steps at the plate, launches a ball. And I'm like, here it comes. I'm like, oh, this is it. We're going to catch one. Boom. Right there off the center field wall. And I mean like 8 feet in front of us. I actually posted it on my Instagram story. You can check it out at MPJohnson79. I posted the TV copy. Because I was like, there we are. Put a little white arrow. I was like, we are right dead in front of that thing. But the thud that ball made when it hit the wall was awesome. But obviously, it was not a happy sight for a lot of Atlanta Braves fans because the bases were cleared. And essentially, guys, that was the game.
Yeah, that was
like,
it.
It was it after that. Like, Trevor Story hit a pitch that Bryce Elder left a little bit too much out of the plate and hit it off the center field wall, and the game was over. Frustrating to say the least. I thought he pitched very well other than that one pitch yesterday. Even the ball before that that was hit off the wall was down. It was a changeup down and off the plate by like 3 or 4 inches. And it ended up being just a well-hit ball. And obviously when you have situations like that regarding Bryce Elder, it's like, well, he doesn't throw 100. This is going to happen. And sure enough, it did just a couple pitches later.
He also went through five and a third, I think, and didn't give up another run. This is his first inning. You know, he took what, like 10 days off from the majors. I thought the umpire was bad all day, and I thought early in that first inning he got squeezed a little bit, and I thought Elder made some good pitches that just didn't get any calls, and I thought it helped lead to that situation. But what I loved is the fact that he rebounded after that,
yeah,
and didn't give up another run, and I think it kind of got his mind right. I'm over the Elder hate. You guys better get over it. He's going to be your fifth starter the rest of the season.
I was going to say, nowhere else to turn now. No conversations to be had.
Yeah.
Well, I do think that, it provided everyone stays healthy, I think Hurston Waldrop is starting to make a case again down in the minors about what he may or may not be soon, because he's playing pretty good. But again, the inability to hit with runners in scoring position, the inability to, to that point, the strike zone suddenly expanded from like the fifth inning on.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was for both sides. Let me be clear on that.
No, it did. It
started getting big.
It did, but early you were squeezing guys, and then all of a sudden it suddenly expands. And I actually think because Crochet was pitching well in the first 3 to 4 innings, then all of a sudden that's when I thought it started expanding.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of times for him, he got calls. Man, and Iglesias got one in the ninth, but there's nothing more irritating when the pitcher gets a ball that's called a strike, mm-hmm. and it's for like three, and they like give the arrogant walk off the mound. It's like, dude, they gifted that strike
right.
out of you.
Yeah.
You like, get your ass back on the mound.
That's what I thought. Like, dude, just calm down.
Also, side note, and I won't go too far, but when did college baseball players become such arrogant people? Because I watched a lot of college baseball this weekend. Georgia was playing, Tech was playing, Florida played. The Tennessee players, the Georgia players, Florida's coach. I mean, they're just some arrogant individuals, and the way they act, and I think it's disrespectful to the game. Carrying your bat down to first base if you hit a home run, that's arrogant behavior. Well, anyways, I digress.
Well, and I do want to talk about something you mentioned, Bo, before we jumped on air, was how people want to see Brian Snitker get a little bit more emotional when it comes to, you know, balls being called strikes being called balls. Basically, I kind of, that made me think about something Grant and I were talking about the other day. Rob Thompson of the Phillies, he was thrown out. They were playing the Brewers last week in the fourth inning. And then the Brewers went on to score another 8 runs. And then in the fourth, and then in the sixth, another 5. So, like, that manager got emotional, got thrown out, and it didn't give them that pop. Actually, the opposite happened. So there is an argument on both sides that you should stay non-emotional when it comes to these situations where we are leaving guys on base, we're getting bad calls, and it's just a very frustrating situation.
And that's the negative of it. I do think that there is a time and place for a guy like Snitker, because see, Brian Snitker can always be, they're always going to compare him to Bobby because of the time in the organization and all that stuff, and he was there with him at some point in time. But Bobby was fiery. He was, and that's why he had the most ejections. Eventually, Snitker's going to lose it here if things kind of continue down this path, and it's going to mean something. Just losing your stuff, though, constantly, and all this emotion, it loses its luster, and it's not what you do to me in a 162-game season.
Yeah.
Kranick's did it, almost did it yesterday. Kranick started arguing he started chirping.
I just think that, Allie, I think this is part of a deeper conversation for Braves fans.
Mm-hmm.
That number one, is Brian Snitker out of touch with the team? And is this team emotionless? And I think that's a deeper conversation, especially before you got Ronnie back. Now, Ronnie obviously brings a little bit of that flair, that emotion back, the love of the game. But I think when you look at the leaders, Matt Olson, like, emotionally, like, a yawn.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Austin Riley gets fiery at times, but he's – most of the time when he's fired, he's blaming himself. He's like, I can't continue to go down this route. You wonder, you know, how Michael Harris and Ozzie Albies and some of these other players, they seem so emotionless at times that I think when you look at Brian Snicker and his inability to really conjure up motion, I think a lot of Braves fans look at it and think that, hey, with this team is taking on the attitude of its leader, and that's Brian Snicker, and that's why it's so frustrating. I was a Cubs fan in the era of Lou Piniella being up there and rubbing, you know, dirt in his hat. The bottom line, though, is because of replay – and the fact that you can challenge plays now, there's not as many opportunities as there was for, say, a Bobby Cox or a Lou Piniella or some of those mid-90s managers. It's like, you don't walk out there and argue it. You just walk out there and go, hey, can you take another look at that? Like, I'm gonna need you guys to look at that one more time. And only then do you get upset. I'm with you guys for the most part. Like, I don't need to see him lose his mind. But you just wish there was a little bit more emotion surrounding the entirety of the team, mm-hmm. not just Brian Snicker.
Well... I get that, but the, you know, what? How was it? 25 guys on this roster?
26.
Well, there's only 26. There's 26. Now you're right. 27 is when the doubler. 20 of them aren't just going to change their personality because Brian Snicker said an F-bomb loudly to an umpire. Okay, you're not going to suddenly have oh, you know what? He said a bad word. He screamed. Now we're going to all show emotion. It just doesn't happen.
Like, I disagree.
I mean,
I used to see Lou Piniella do it all the time. When he'd lose it, the team got fired, the crowd got fiery. The entire – elevated the emotion of everybody, I think.
I mean, Lou Piniella had what? I mean, World Series had one.
It has nothing to do with your conversation.
It does.
That has nothing to do with your conversation. Did they play better after he got him fired up and they play with
Lou
more
Piniella
emotion?
Did it constantly. Bobby Cox did it constantly. He doesn't change the makeup of the team.
Okay.
Matt Olson's not all of a sudden going to be a fiery guy because Brian Snicker drops an F-bomb loudly at an umpire.
You don't know that.
I do know that.
Then why do football coaches have pregame speeches? Why? Well, it doesn't really matter if there's a pregame speech. It's not going to change the way
one
play.
One sport is played purely off emotion and the other is not. Okay?
It's just not true.
It's just not true. You cannot compare that. They're completely different sports.
There's no emotion in baseball. You're right. It never helps anybody. We got to go to break.
Ronnie came
Speaking
back
emotion,
and the team has been worse.
Cut his microphone off.
He's got all the emotion in the world.
Cut his microphone off. Coming back, we got to talk about a streak that reached 26. It's been 25 years. It reached 26 over the weekend. Dylan. Probably not that excited about it. I'll tell you that. On the other side, we also got Allie's Mac Drop.
Yes, we have Motivation Monday coming up, and one fast food shift paid off with six figures.
There you go.
Maybe I'll tell you how.
Maybe it'll make this show a little more emotional. Stick with us here on the Morning Shift.
You
Sports
always
Radio,
get mad when I am emotional.